Hi.
So we're starting the recording through the recorded portion of the call. Elohai, Nitzor Lishoni, Meira, Usfosai, Ni Daber Mermo, Lim Kamalai Nafshi, Shidom Nafshi, Kyomafala Kote here. Sakhudi, Bisoz, El Mitzvah, Sakhudi, Daber Nafshi, Bukhala Kamim, Mahoshim, Lila, Mifer, and Tosam, Kalkar, Mahashal, Tom. Let me be used to anybody who's on the call. Hatzlacha, everybody, have a good day, good morning. Anybody who has any questions on anything that I say or wants to bring up a topic to discuss, feel free. We are in the recorded portion, as you know, because you hear the lady announce when you get on the call. This call is being recorded. So there's no secret recording possible on this line. There's a little background noise. Somebody's like hocking around. If you want to keep that, then just mute your phone so it'll help us out. Thank you, Chaver. So today I didn't get another request, so I don't know about what topic we're going to talk about for sure, but we did get a suggestion. Somebody asked about surrender and having a God in your life, a power greater than yourself, a higher power in your life. The person who asked is a Chassidus Yid. He's a guy that I'm sure davens every day, or davened for many years. Tefillin, talis, the whole thing. From a Yid, learned in yeshiva probably for years, on and off here and there, between business and this and that, or whatever he's, Isaac in and stuff. He knows learning, he knows davening, he knows Chassidus, he knows Torah learning. And yet he's asking a question about how to have a higher power in your life. He's asking a question about surrender. The Sfarim are full of surrender. You know, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, I am Mekabel on myself, Arba Mises Bezdin, Ad Kidei Kach, Ve'ahavta as Hashem Elokecha, B'chol Levavcha. With what I want, that's good, my Yetzer Tov, and with what I want, that's bad. Everything about me, I'm giving it over to Hashem. Ve'ahavta is to give. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, I'm Moiser Nefesh. I am Moiser myself. Kabbalas ol Malchus Shemayim, not Kabbalas ol Mitzvahs. That's in Vahayim Shema. Kabbalas ol Malchus Shemayim. That he's the only act in town. I'm just a figment in his imagination, really. I'm a creation of his mind. That's what we believe, that we're creations of God's mind. Kaviyachal, of his will. Whatever that is, Kaviyachal, he doesn't have a mind like we have a mind, Chas v'Shalom, but it's, Hu Uratzono Echad, etc., and all this stuff. That's why Ratzon is Gematria Shemo, and all this stuff. Ratzono, Gematria Shemo. So whatever, it's like, it's, we can't understand him, but we'll use these terms, you know what I mean? So how can a Frum Yid like me go for years and years and only now be working on a higher power? What's the matter with us? What's going on? I'm not going to ask what's the matter with Yiddishkeit, what's the matter with the system, what's the matter with yeshiva, what's the matter with this. I'm not going to go into that whole mess because that's all opinions from opinions, not experience. All I can share is my experience, and I don't have any experience on the past, on what was happening, what's the meaning of the past. This is the problem with scientists who, if you listen to Rev. Victor Miller, he would hock on this constantly. This is the problem with scientists. Scientists, your job is to understand what's happening and what you observe and the meaning of things. But to go theorize about how things happened and why things happened in the past, a million years ago, how old is Earth, here and there, it's a million, it's 4 million, it's 10 million, 4 billion, da-da-da-da-da. So that's not in your purvey. That's not your purpose. To try to understand why things are happening, what the purpose of things are, is also not your purpose. That's philosophy. That's not science. So it's the same kind of thing over here. What's my place? What's actually something that I can grasp onto? And I have experience in these things, but I don't have experience in how and why things occurred and all that stuff. That happened already. How can I have experience in it? I didn't understand it while it was happening. My experience now can shed light on it, yes. but it's a theory. It's my understanding. It's not, I'm not sharing facts with you that this is my experience. I know this to be true in my experience, you know, but I can share the present in my experience with you, you know, and you can share the present in your experience with me. You can share that with me. So, you know, with us. So how can a from a yid now, right now, yes, whatever, right now, how can a person who is a from a yid, who has payas, who has wears talis tefillin, keeps Shabbos, keeps kashas, learns Torah, davens, how can a from a yid have a problem with, I have to work on a higher power? No, far shteitzuch, your higher power is Hashem Yisbarach. And farshteitzach, your higher power is Hashem Yisbarach, and farshteitzach, you already believe, or ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, the goyim then, the goyim in the meetings, the 12 steps, chas v'sholom, it should have anything to teach you. No, it's impossible. How could that be? You have the Torah itself, gevald. If these people in the meeting, the goyim in the meeting, would only for a second see the truth of your Torah that you have and the Yerisha that you have of Emunah Tahara and this, then all the 12 steps they have would fall down like roadkill and they would come, oh, the B'nai Mechoza, that they don't become Bali Tshuva because of the Amorayim that they see. They have a din on them. What's really going on over here? Obviously, this is not the case. Obviously, here you see, from a Yidin, Shtreimel Aroi, you know, Peyas Aroi isn't here. From a Yidin like me, people, Yidin with beards, davening, learning, and they're masturbating themselves to pornography. They're fantasizing about their sister-in-law. They're fantasizing about that the wife, if she only gave me this kind of sex and this thing and that thing, then I would be happy. It's fantasy, and then they're looking at the pornography, and some guys for hours and hours and hours. Some guys are using prostitutes. Many, many guys are using prostitutes that I know from a guy's Halig a good Yidin, and they're using prostitutes. How can they be Halig a Yidin? Well, they're giving a shir that you go to and you love, and you walk home, and you tell your wife, ah, I went to a shir from this guy, Meir Yitzchak, or Moshe Riven, or Moshe Pupik, or whatever, and it was a fabulous shir. Gevalt, the heckis that this guy... he knows, he's mamish and ishish kailas. It's amazing. And he spoke about this and he spoke about that. In the meantime, the guy's a professional masturbator like me. He's a professional. He's not clean, thank God, like I am one day at a time. But he's a porn user. You don't know. There are many of them, many of us people out there. So and some of them are you. And that's why you're listening to this call instead of a Christian fellowship in recovery call or something like that. You know? You're listening to this call because you're a from a yid. Here you are doing these secret things. You have a double life and you can't stand it, which is wonderful, and it's a tremendous Melitz Tov thing on you, which it demonstrates, you know, that you're a good guy. Hi, have a good morning, folks. It demonstrates that you're a good person, that you're, you know, Hashem certainly loves you and he admires you and you're halik, you're special, you're beautiful. But still, there's, why are you doing these things? Why are you doing these things? You know, if you have a God, why are you doing these things? Well, it's my yetzer hara. My Yetzihara makes me do these things. That's called blaming it on God. You want to blame it on God? Fine. Not an easy way out of that one. Because once you believe that it's the Yetzihara that's making me act out all the time, then, and that's all it is. It's always the Yetzihara, no matter what. I spoke a little yesterday on the call. It got cut off at the end, I think. But I was speaking yesterday about simanim of how you know that it's the Yetzihara versus addiction, because I know that a majority of the people on Guard Your Eyes, who are attracted to Guard Your Eyes, a majority of them, not all, but a significant percentage, a good percentage, I would say more than 50%, are not addicts, and their problem is the Yetzer Hara. It's not addiction in their cases. It's not addiction. Just because you look at pornography, you know, And you struggle with pornography use and schmutz on the internet and the accursed internet and the internet and the internet, and you even masturbate sometimes, these things aren't necessarily proof that you're an addict, that you have addiction. Some guys are attracted to addiction and guard your eyes because they hear, oh, everybody who's doing this, if you try to stop and you can't stop forever, then you're automatically an addict. That's me, because I acted out 6 months ago, and I know I'm going to come to it again eventually because of my Groisa Yitzhahura, and therefore I'm an addict. I see it's an addiction. Oh, it's a terrible addiction. This Klal Yisrael is suffering from a terrible addiction, and it's the big Nisayon Hador, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the problem is that the only reason that you're attracted to it is because once you say it's an addiction, you don't feel so guilty, so it helps you feel better. But you're not willing to do any of the things that addicts do. Are you going to go to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting like any 12-step guy does, probably? I go to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. I don't introduce myself as a sexaholic. I introduce myself, if they're an open Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, non-alcoholics are allowed to go. So any addict is allowed to go to an open AA meeting. There are closed AA meetings and open AA meetings. Closed AA meetings are for only alcoholics. Open AA meetings are for addicts of any kind. People like me, SA guys like me, we frequently go to AA meetings because if there's no SA meeting around, I'll go to an AA meeting. If I'm on vacation somewhere, I want to spend an hour going to a meeting. I don't want to miss a meeting for a whole week, you know, so I'll go to an AA meeting in the area, you know. So then anybody here who thinks, well, it's a terrible addiction of Klal Yisrael and I need to go and try to do, so then behave like an addict in recovery. No, I do. I read the 12 steps and the handbook on Guard Your Eyes in the comfort of my own living room while I'm posting on Guard Your Eyes named Gingerbread Man, you know? So I'm very honest. Well, why are you honest? You're only honest, quote unquote, because you can't figure out who I am. So Mimela, I'll tell you everything. As long as Pastor Sholem, you can't figure out who I am, that's not honesty. I'm not willing to do anything. That's zero. Is it worth nothing? No. But it's like buying the medicine that you've got to take because the doctor gives you the prescription. He says, well, did you fill the prescription I gave you? I'm still sick. Yeah, I filled the prescription. So he goes, so then what's the matter? So he goes, oh, nothing. I don't know. So the doctor says, well, how many times a day did you take the medicine? Maybe you took it, you know, all together instead of twice a day, 12 hours apart or something. You took it both pills in the morning. Maybe that's it. Like, what happened? He goes, oh, I didn't take any pills. You didn't take any pills. You said you filled the prescription. Yeah, I filled the prescription. It's sitting in my car right now. I filled it 2 weeks ago. Oh, but you didn't take the pills. Oh, yeah. Why would I take the pills? What, you think I'm crazy? I mean, come on, you know. They might not be kosher, you know. I wasn't sure. So why'd you fill the prescription? The whole thing's crazy. Crazy. Oh, it's an addiction, but I'm not willing to do the things that addicts the world over do to recover, like get yourself to a meeting or get yourself to a therapist. Forget about meetings. Not every addict needs to go to meetings. Not every addict needs 12 steps. The 12 steps isn't necessary for every addict. Therapy works for plenty of addicts. Different kinds of therapy works for plenty of addicts. Look in the psychological journals and stuff. They'll show you. There are a lot of statistics that say that therapy helps some addicts. I happen to have tried therapy for different therapists and spoke to at least three different rabbanim telling them everything over the 20 years that I was acting out. And it didn't help me, it just made me worse. And I hear that story from many other guys, that they went to therapy and all it did was delay the inevitable, or it made them actually worse. So just like getting married makes an addict worse, not better. If you got married and everything got better after you got married, and it stayed better, then I would ask you, why are you calling? Why are you calling me now? You know, why are you on Guard Your Eyes now? Well, I want to be perfect, you know? Okay, so maybe you're not as perfect as you think you are. Maybe you're actually getting worse. You know, look at what you're doing. Admit what you're doing to somebody real so that you'll have self-honesty. Self-honesty comes from being honest with other people, not first your own and yourself, because then how am I going to be honest to somebody else? No, it doesn't work that way. It's like Nasa Vinishma. What's Pshat Nasa Vinishma? How can you do if you don't even know what to do yet? Because nasa v'nishma means nasa v'nishma v'nasa. that Naseh, I'm going to do whatever you say. That I'm going to do. I don't understand it. I have no understanding of what you really mean, and I'm not going to even do it right because I don't understand exactly what you're telling me to do. But you're telling me to do X, like Avraham Avinu was told to shecht your son, to bring your son up as a korban. He went and tried to shecht his son. And then Hashem says, oh, all I said was bring him up. I never said shecht him. So in other words, Avraham didn't understand properly exactly what Hashem meant him to do, according to some sheetahs at least. And therefore, he did the wrong thing. But it was still Hashem's will. The Rimanover, by the way, has a beautiful vort on this, the B'nai Sascha brings. That when it says Vayishlach es yado Vayikach sa ma'acheles l'shchot es b'no, that he sent forth his hand to get the ma'acheles, the knife, to knife is called a ma'acheles in the Torah in some places. So l'shchot es b'no to shecht his son, and then Hashem said, you know, so why does it say Vayishlach es yado and he sent his hand to get the knife? It doesn't say Vayishlach es yado to take the wood. Vayishlach es yado and he tied Vayakod es Yitzchak b'no, that he bound Yitzchak up like you bind your tefillin on your left arm with your right hand. Avraham Avinu bound the chesed with the right hand. He was chesed. He was the right hand. Kaviyachol, he connected the right hand. He bound up Yitzchak, who was the gevura, which is the left, up. That's the union of, not Inyan, but that's one of the things to think about in tefillin, that it's connected to the Akedah. But why didn't it say that he sent forth his hand to bind Yitzchak Beno or anything? It doesn't say that. Only here, it says, by taking the knife. So the Rimanover says, because Avraham Avinu, this is after the Bris, Avraham Avinu got control, Oshlita, over his whole body to do the Ratzon Hashem. What does that mean? In Avraham Avinu's case, that means something different than us, that we have the power of choice and freedom. In Avraham Avinu's case, he was different. And by the way, in my Shovavim talk, Bezuz Hashem, a few days ago, I think it was last week, Thursday, I spoke about the difference between Avraham and Noach and how that regards recovery and, you know, addiction and recovery. The difference between Avraham and Noach in their avoda, in their, you know, derech of avoda in general, that explains a little bit of what I'm talking about also in this inyan specifically. But Avraham's segula was, his special thing about him was that he felt in his body was the motivation to do the mitzvahs, not in his mind only. But it went through into his body, unlike other tzaddikim, where it didn't go through the body. This is specifically by Avraham, that not only by Avraham, but specifically here by Avraham, where his body did the mitzvahs, wanted to do the mitzvahs. It drew him to do the mitzvahs automatically. It's kind of the opposite. All right, whatever. So anyway, his body is drawn, so all the things that he did came naturally to him because his body knew, because the universe knows, because they're doimim, the universe just knows what the will of Hashem is, and it does it, you know? As we say in the Hallelukahs, in the fifth Hallelukah, in the third Hallelukah, in, you know, when we talk about Shemayim, Shemay Shemayim, and all the inanimate objects, they do Hashem's will automatically. So, but a person has Bechira mixed in since the Eitz HaDaas especially, so we don't do that. But Avraham Avinu was past that here, and his body was like an inanimate thing that was connected to the whole universe as a whole, unity with God and his will, automatic, and his body was automatically doing Hashem's will. And then what happens? Since Hashem's will was not that he should shecht his son, it was just that he should bring him up to the Mizbeach as a korban, with intention that if I'm supposed to shecht him, I'll shecht him, and that's it. So then when he sent his hand forth, when he wanted to shecht him, his arm, so to speak, said, no, I'm not going, because something's not right here, you know? Something's not right. His arm said, something's not right, you know? And his arm was difficult to move to get the knife to shecht him. So Avraham said, so the pasuk says, Vayishlach es yado. He sent his hand. He forced, meaning the Rimanover says, he forced his hand. I think it's the Rimanover. He forced his hand to do this thing, to take the knife to Shecht Yitzchak. Because he said to his mind, it has to be in control, even over the natural thing that his body says must be Hashem's will, and he trusts it generally. But he says, no, I got a nevuah, this is how I understood it or misunderstood it, and I'm going to do it according to what I understood. I don't, lo b'shamayim he, you know? It's not in my body. The Torah is not in my body. The Torah is in my mind. I got a nevuah, bam, it overcomes everything. And then, but he was wrong. And that's okay, you know? So anyway, this relates back to what I was saying, if you stop a rhyme. So let me kind of go step back a little bit, and I think it'll help organize things a little. How do we get this higher power in our life then? If I'm from a Yid and I'm doing all this stuff, so then I have a higher power. If I stay stuck, the higher power is Hashem Yisbarach. Not quite. You and I and everybody who really, really is honest with themselves knows that the name that you call your God is very, very different than your relationship with this God. We can say all day long that each name of Hashem explains the relationship that we have with Him, because Chas V'Shalom, the name isn't really describing Him. He can't have a name, right? As the Sefer Kabbalah tells us, Hashem does not have when we say a name, we don't mean, it's not like for us, it's not a label, there's no way to label Him, you know? So the name means our relationship to Him, how we perceive Him through His actions or whatever. So you can say that all you want. So then why are you masturbating? Why are you looking at pornography? Why are you going to prostitutes? Why are you staring at the women in the street and over and over and over and bringing yourself to all kinds of mishigas and thinking all day, I have to fight it, vigilance, guard your eyes, vigilance, make another toxic shavua, and it's not working and you keep going and this. Why? Isn't God good enough? Isn't it enough? Well, first of all, He says don't do it, so why doesn't that matter to you? Well, it does matter to me, I'm here, but then why do you keep doing it? Okay, so if you keep doing it, so then get help. Okay, this is your help. You know, if talking about it and discussing it in this way works for you, gesunter heit, that's fabulous. If it doesn't work for you, in the end, you need help. And the help that you're going to get isn't going to come from thinking it, good morning, isn't going to come from thinking it over, reading and this, because you've been doing this all this time. So the purpose of my job here is to tell you, guess what? If it's not working, you really need some help. I went to 4 therapists, 3 rabbanim at least, and discussed it honestly and openly, and it didn't work for me. What does that mean? That means that I needed something else. I went to the fourth therapist that I went to said to me, you've tried therapy, religion, medication, getting married, you tried to stop, right? And that didn't work for you either. That made it worse in the end. So then this is something you never tried. I think this might be the missing link. And it was a card with my sponsor, or the man who eventually became my sponsor, him and his wife's names and phone number on there. And he said, and the therapist says to me, call him up and, you know, talk to this guy. You know, he goes to 12-step meetings. You know, he doesn't talk about 12-step meetings on the phone, calling himself Tshuva 613, you know. He actually is a real addict in real recovery. He's really sick, and so are you. You need help, and I can't save you. That's what this therapist said. Why did she have the humility to say that? Because she was an alcoholic herself, and she knew that nothing could save her except for God. I have God, and that's the topic of this call, really. I have God. I'm a from a Yid. What do you mean? Get a higher power in my life? What? What higher power in my life? I'm a from a Yid. I have God. I have this. Well, so then my question, first question, Ershins, and I'm going to keep saying, is so then why are you doing this stuff? If you have a God, so then why are you doing this stuff? Not pshat, why don't you have so much Yiras Shamayim? That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, why are you doing this stuff? If you're just sinning, so then I understand it's the Yetzirah, and it is the Yetzirah, and it behooves you to fight. Rigzu v'al techeto, imru bilvavchem amishkavchem v'domusela. The Gemara gives different tactics. Open up a Musa Sefer. Fight, fight, fight. Va'ata tim shobo. You can win. Hashem will help you. Il mali ozra in a yocholo. Hashem will help you. Haboli tayar misayinoso. He'll help you. Do it. But if you're an addict, none of this stuff's going to work. If you're an addict, that means that this stuff doesn't apply to you, because it's not, you're not bad, you're sick. You're crazy. You're sick. You have a mental illness, an emotional disease, an obsession of the mind, and an allergy of the body to this stuff. So all this stuff won't work. This is not going to work for you. What about the higher power in my life? What about the higher power? I'm a firmer guy. What about the higher power? Well, how do I get surrender is what this man said very wisely. The guy who asked said very wisely, how do I get surrender? How do I surrender and get a God in my life, a real God in my life? This is what this Chassidish Yid is asking. And by the way, I go to recovery Shabbos, you know, Shabbatons, you know, they call them. I go to recovery Shabbatons a couple times a year. Sometimes, usually it's once a year, but sometimes it's a couple times a year. I have an arrangement with my wife that, you know, because we got little kids and everything, and going away for a Shabbos is very difficult for the whole family. So I try to generally do that only once a year. But still, Shabbatons, I'm talking, you know, you're talking about 100 shtreimels in the room. Many of them come with their wives, you know, and the women have a separate program. Men have a separate program, you know, of their own, of course, on the thing. But it's a Shabbaton, you know, for, you know, and there's 300-400 people, some, you know, there's like 300-400 people there altogether, you know, at these things. You go to a Sexaholics Anonymous International Convention, you got tons of people there all over the world. And two conventions that I know of had frum men who were the keynote speakers in front of the whole crowd, telling them their story, qualifying. You know, is that a chilul Hashem? No, these people have many years of sobriety and recovery. So, you know, what's going on over here? What's going on over here? So how do you have surrender and a higher power really in your life, that you're plugged into a power greater than yourself in your life that actually works? How do you do that? So for most of us, it's you got to act out enough so that you finally come to your knees and crack and realize, I have lost this battle of the Yetzer Hara, which is a great battle as long as it's not an addiction. If it's not an addiction, it's a great battle to fight. Fight it. It's your inheritance. It's your Yerusha. Fight it. You can win. If you're an addict, though, you obviously can't because you're sick. So, like me. So, after 20 years of trying, I guess it's time to consider the possibility of some other method. Now, I'm sober and clean, thank God, for 19. I'm sober for 19 years. And 10 and a half months or something like that, Baruch Hashem. So one day at a time. I'm sober one day at a time. I'm still sick. How do I know I'm still sick? That's for another call, okay? My life is getting better and better in every respect in my life, spiritually, you know, in terms of Yiddishkeit, in terms of family, in terms of marriage, in terms of relationships, in terms of my work, in terms of myself, my relationship to myself. My relationship with my God is light years better than where it was before, even though before I was giving shiurim to Bali Tshuva, and I was, doing this and doing mitzvahs and here and there and da-da-da-da-da from Guy and all this other stuff. Far better now than it ever was, and it gets better every single year. It's different than it was before. It's amazing. I keep thinking, how could it get better? Every year is better. So, and I'm not perfect, that's for sure. So, and neither are you. So how do we have the surrender? So one way is by acting out enough, you know? What does it say? It's the Gemara says, Hashem, seven Nevi'im and whatever it was. I right now the numbers are escaping my mind, but I quoted this Gemara a few a few weeks ago on the call in the first week, I think. He brought Nevi'im and Nevi'os down to the world, dozens of them, and besides the thousands that Klal Yisrael had, Veloh Asa, and the Klal Yisrael didn't really do a Tshuva Shleima until Haman got the ring from transferred from Achashverosh's finger to Haman's finger, and then the Klal Yisrael did Tshuva, finally. In other words, you got a break. This isn't talking about a normal person. This is talking about addiction. Klal Yisrael, on a general, you know, as a people, you're not talking about just tshuva. That's a different level of tshuva, where a whole nation does tshuva. That requires getting broken. It's not an addiction, but that requires getting broken, just like an addict requires getting broken. It's not a decision I want. I'm tired of it. You know, I'm tired of it. If you heard my story, which I repeat on the Desperados call, for those who, you know, who are safe and are allowed on the call, and as I do in SA meetings and as I did in SA conventions, if you hear my story and stuff, you'll understand the powerlessness. You'll understand, and by powerless, I don't mean that I can't resist the temptation. That's not what powerless means. That's what they tell you in many places on Guard Your Eyes. Powerless means that I can't resist the temptation. You know, that's not what powerless means. I define what powerless means in other calls here. But the powerlessness, the unmanageability that my life can't continue this way, 50 million times I'll say, oh, I can't stand it anymore, and keep acting out. And that happened 10 years before here and 10 years before there. I realized that I can't handle it. So then where's the Gemira's Das? There's no Gemira's Das that you need. You don't need a Hachlatas. Hachlatas Chazakas. That's not what you need. You need to be broken. If you're just like a klal doesn't do tshuva unless they're broken. A klal doesn't do tshuva just because of a little hisoris here, you know, a speech from here, a speech from there. The Gadol HaDor gives a shmuz. Some will, some won't, most will, whatever. All it takes is a few guys here, the guys with the avodah zarah behind the door in the time of the king, Yoshio. And here and there, and it ruins it for everybody. A klal doesn't do tshuva by ritzinus. A klal does tshuva by being broken. Only from being broken is it possible to do tshuva for a klal. For an individual, no. No, not for an individual. But if a person's an addict, then you're like a klal. You're not like an individual. You're like a klal. And the v'yotzim in a klal, except what? Look at the 13 Midas Shatar and Adreshes Behen. You know, I say this every single morning. Most mornings I say the 13 Midas Shatar and Adreshes Behen from the Mishnah from Rabbi Yishmael, and that's what it says. Nothing comes out of the klal except lalamed al. It's not lalamed al atzmo, but it's lalamed al acherem yatsa. You know. So. If I'm an addict and I was taken out of the klal by the Ribbono Shel Olam's mercy, by his grace, the word grace translated in Hebrew is chesed, that you don't deserve. You can't be zoche to chesed. Chesed means you're not zoche to it. So that's a definition of chesed itself, that you're not zoche to it. So if you can't be zoche to God's grace, then, you know, stop fighting for it and start just living, you know. Accept it, you know, because he's holding it out. So this guy, I lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry. I lost my train of thought. So the person who's recovering, I wish I had that. I was kind of in a subject there. I apologize. It's because I don't get enough sleep at night. Also because I'm forgetful, b'chlal. But anyhow, I'll do the best I can to get back on track. If this was an open call where people were actually talking, then they would contribute and help me get back on the track that I was on. But this is a secret call. It's a Guard Your Eyes call, not an SA call. It's a Guard Your Eyes call, and you know, it doesn't work that way so easy because, you know, people have to hide. But anyhow, and I don't blame you because it's not such a safe environment. So a person who is an individual who passes the normal Yetzer Hara kind of thing, now you're like a klal and you need to be broken. So just like by Klal Yisrael that Haman was given the ring and that brought them to the teshuva better than all the Nevi'im and Nevi'is, then something like seven Nevi'is and 49 Nevi'im and seven Nevi'is, something like that. I can't remember the numbers right now. But they and Klal Yisrael didn't do teshuva. Why? Was Klal Yisrael that bad? No, it's because that's the way that a klal works. That's the way a klal works. Eov, same thing. Eov, I spoke about this in a different call on this line. Eov was Hashem Nasan Hashem Lokach Yehi Shem Hashem Avarach. He didn't break. He didn't break. He held his faith in the Rabbanu Shel Olam, his trust in the Rabbanu Shel Olam. He held. Even though, God forbid, lo aleinu, his children were all killed, his house was destroyed, his business destroyed, he lost everything, practically. His wife was still alive, but he lost everything, and then he didn't break. And Hashem says, oh, you see, he's a tzaddik. And the Satan says, no, let me go get him bad this time. And Hashem says, oh, okay. And for whatever his reason, good reasons are, he agreed. And then the Satan does what? He breaks Eov. How? By giving him tzaras. He gives him tzaras mameres. He gives him tzaras in his body, begufo. Gives him a punishment in his body. He lost all of his children. That's not begufo. God forbid, lo aleinu, a person loses children. God forbid, lo aleinu, what that does to a man, especially a real man like Eov. I mean, how it must have destroyed him. But he says, Hashem Nasan v'Hashem Lokach Yishem Hashem Avarach. But when he got tzaras in his body, he says, Kileel es Yomo. He cursed the day he was born, and he said that God is good, but he doesn't have control over everything because I was born under a bad mazel, and that's why I have all these tzaras. It can't be. And then his friends come, and they start arguing with him for, it seems like, years. If you read the Sefer, it goes on and on and on. They argue with him, he must have done averus. Only a Rasha can have such tzaras, even though you're a good guy and everything, and you're a tzaddik mostly, but you must have done an avera to deserve this. And Eov is like, no, 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 I didn't do it. No, I didn't do that. No, I didn't. Kileel es Yomo. Why did he suddenly break? Because he got tzaras in his body. So what finally helps a person quit? When he gets broken. It can't be, oh, this happened to me, that happened to me. Doesn't matter how many marriages you get divorced from. Doesn't matter how many jobs you lose. Doesn't matter if you never get divorced. It doesn't matter if you never lose a job. It doesn't matter if you get caught once. It doesn't matter who you get caught by or what. Getting caught by your child won't save you from this problem. You know, and that's going to happen to all of you and all of us who aren't sober, who do this stuff repeatedly. One day, your 12-year-old child is going to walk in while you're furiously masturbating in front of your computer. One day, your child's going to walk, your grandson, your granddaughter is going to walk in on you. You're not going to stop because you're 60 years old. You're not going to stop because magic, well, when I get married, I'll stop. Then the guy says, when I have a first child, I'll for sure not be doing this. When I have a fifth child, when my first child gets married, for sure, I'll be giving her a bracha on her head, and I won't be a person who still does this stuff for Shteisa. And then guess what? You see that you still are. You see that it's past, you see you have gray in your beard, and you still do. What? I'm going to be 30, and I'm still going to be doing this. I'm going to be 60, and I'm still going to be doing this. I'll be 80, and I'm still going to be doing this. All right. You know? Hello, what? And you will be, because these things won't break a person who's an addict. Getting divorced, getting fired from a job in public, getting arrested, getting caught by your husband or by your wife won't stop you from doing these things. They won't stop you. They might, but they're not. Nothing's guaranteed to stop you. What will stop you is hitting your bottom line that you do so bad that you can't stand yourself anymore, that you will lose everything if you continue, and you realize inside your heart, I feel like maybe I would do it. You know? Maybe I would do it. You know? And that can be a person's bottom when they realize, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I'm going to lose everything. If I continue this, I'm guaranteed to lose everything. I am living a double life. There are many people who didn't lose a thing, but the recognition, the clear recognition, I am living a double life. I don't
it's not the pshat anymore that I'm a decent guy with who does averis, and that's not the pshat. And the pshat is not that I'm a bad guy in Arusha and all this stuff. That's not relevant. What's relevant, what's going on, is that I'm sick. I'm crazy. I'm living a double life. No Nazis came home after killing Jews and cried to their wives all day, all night long, about how they feel guilty and terrible, and then they went back to work and suffered through the day, but they made it. And then, to do their job, they made it to feed the family and here, and then they came home, and again, oh, Gewalt, I have so much guilt. How am I going to handle it? And they're crying through saying Tefillah Zaka and Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur goes by, and Shoivavim, and na, na, na. And he keeps doing it. And that's not the way a Nazi worked. So if you keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, at a certain point, you fight. It's a Yetzer Hara, you fight it. It is the Yetzer Hara, you fight it. But at a certain point, you reach, it's not the Yetzer Hara anymore. You realize that you're crazy. At a certain point, you realize, I'm jeopardizing too much. I keep doing it willingly, unwillingly, but I'm doing it. And I can't blame God anymore. I can't say he gave me the Yetzer Hara. It's his fault. I can't blame God anymore. Ein hadavar teluya ela bi. It's not tshuva. It's not Torah. It's not this. It's not that. Ein hadavar teluya ela bi. That's an addict. That's not the Yetzer Hara. That's an addict. He's sick. He's a dead man. You got to die. You don't have to die physically, but you got to die to yourself. That's what Elazar ben Dodaya did. He had to suddenly come to this point. He's probably the only addict in Chazal that they talk about. You know, there's a person that said, "Ein hadavar teluya ela bi." The 12-step program is 100% totally im ein ani li mi li. 100% pure self-responsibility. I'm broken. I come to the point where I admit it, I'm broken. And if you're a guard your eyes, sweet guard your eyes guy who says, yes, I admit I'm broken. What do I do? My name is Tshuva 613. You're still full of garbage. I'm sorry. Find real people who are safe. Get in touch with me or with another guy who's in, thank God, one day at a time, real recovery. Get some phone numbers of other people who are sober who live in your community. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, it doesn't matter. Get connected up, call Relief, or call Echo, or call whatever those organizations are for mental health professionals. Get yourself to a shrink. Get help. Stop hiding behind lies called, oh, it's a Chilul Hashem, or lies like, well, I can't tell him everything. It's too embarrassing. Do you want to tell them everything, or do you want to keep doing it all again over and over? That's your choice. Are you ready to do something about it? Call the SA Central Office. And this is not an SA call. This is a guard your eyes call. I don't speak for SA. But I can share my experience. There's SA, there's SAA, there's SLAA. There's all kinds of organizations that are 12-step organizations. We never advertise because we're not trying to get members. We're not trying to save the world. We're trying to save ourselves and share whatever we've got with whoever comes to us and wants it. We're like Noah. We're not Avrahams. And I explained why that is in the Shovavim talk last week. And we're willing to share whatever we've got with whoever wants it. So come and get it. But don't sit in your house, Don't sit in your house and pretend that you're going to think about the 12 steps and read them and listen on a call where you're anonymous. In other words, meitzitz min acharakim, yiroa ve'eino nireis, and you're not really, that's trying to recover in the comfort of your own living room. Comfort is your number one priority, not recovery then. Your number one priority is, well, I can't be found out. Excuses like, well, my wife will have to find out and this and that, they're all excuses. If that bothers you, so then call one of us. Call someone in recovery. Go to a shrink. Get the help. Talk to someone who's been through it and ask them, what do I do about my husband? What do I do about my wife? Ask. Don't have an excuse and then sit with, oh, the meetings are in a church, I heard. Don't sit around. Ask a paisek. And if you're going to ask your rav, Am I allowed to go to 12-step meetings? Because I come to, well, what's your problem? Shmiras Einayim and Zera Levatot. For Shmiras Einayim and Zera Levatot, you're going to go into a church? Chas v'shalom. You didn't ask the Shaila, honestly. You didn't tell the Rav the circumstances of what you're doing. You said Shmiras Einayim. Shmiras Einayim is not any way to honestly describe, and you can't say, well, he knows what I mean, because he doesn't know what you mean, because every case is different. And many Rabbanim don't understand 12 steps or recovery or addiction at all. And they mamish think. They're mamish, still Rabbanim and Klal Yisrael going around all over telling Bukharim still, don't worry, the problem will go away when you're married. You have a real woman you can stick it into, then it's going to solve your problems. Sex will save you. That's what they tell them. Sex will save you. You know, get married quick, quick. Quick, or else you'll come to Marzeh Levatola, and the Mashiach will be delayed even more, you know? And they sacrifice these Bukharim's lives, and their wives' lives, and their marriages, and ultimately their children follow in their footsteps, because they have crazy marriages, not because their father's doing a virus. They never see that, maybe, or they do sometimes. But it's the craziness in the lying and the faking in the family. That's what screws up our families and causes them to be so dysfunctional that the kids are almost guaranteed to end up screwed up. So no, that stuff exists, but that's not the solution. Everybody with Einei Seichel knows that. That's not the solution. If you're an addict, if you're not an addict, getting married may help you. If you're not an addict, getting married may help you. If you are an addict, it's only going to make it worse, and it's irresponsible to bring upon somebody else. But these rabbanim don't know about addiction. They don't understand addiction in their own families, with their own children, and in their own selves. Some of them who are addicts don't understand addiction. You know, so it's a very hard thing. So let me kind of go back now. So one way to have this, how do I get a higher power in my life? How do I surrender? One way is by finally being broken. So that's a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam, obviously, that the amount of acting out that you do finally kills you. Not physically, maybe, although it may. I know guys who have died and, you know, acting out, but either by their own hand or by others. It's gotta kill you, you know? Kind of like the funny chazal, Ein divrei Torah miskayim en ela b'misha meimis. That's my Aleichem, you know. You're going to have to die for you to have success at doing this stuff. Okay, I'm not talking about that. That's talking about mitzvahs. This is talking about addiction and recovery. But it's a parallel. There are many parallels, and this is one of them. You know, how it seems to be contradictory. How do you keep the Torah? By dying over it. Then you're not keeping the Torah anymore. And it says, Miskayimen, that it's going to be kept, and it's going to succeed and remain. That's how it's going to stay. By dying over it. How do you die over something if you're dead? You know? So it means surrender of self by necessity, that you have to surrender yourself over it. But that's a parallel. Here I'm talking about recovery and addiction, not about doing averus and keeping the Torah, you know, versus keeping the Torah. So anyway, so that's one thing. The other thing is, how do I attach myself to a higher power? Well, I'll tell you, the Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam, this is like Shlav Beis of the whole answer, of the whole response to this question that this good Yid asked, okay? Shlav 2 is that one is, well, if you're tzibrochet enough, you'll finally surrender and you'll give yourself over to this power greater than yourself that can restore you to sanity. But what happens if you haven't gone that far yet? Well, there are some people who get better, but it's because their bottom is raised. Look in step 1 of the 12 and 12 of Alcoholics Anonymous, 12 steps, 12 traditions. Look in chapter 1, which is on the first step, about people who have a very high bottom. They didn't go down so low yet. How do they end up in 12-step recovery? But the answer is always how they end up in 12-step recovery, not how they quit. How they quit, if you're not low, it's the Yetzer Hara, you obviously need to quit by fighting. Va'ata Timshel Bo is your derech, and that's going to work for you. But if you realize that it's not going to work for you because you keep trying it and you're fooling yourself, it really is just getting better. I'm sorry, it really is just getting worse over time. over the years that you see it's getting worse, so then you're probably, it's possible that you're an addict. You know, so that's one. The other way is that Shlav Beis is stop acting out. Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam writes in Sefer HaMaspik that to the, like, kifi, the Lashon of the Sfasem is kifi, your attachment to other things, that's how weak your connection to Hashem is. Kifi, your love for other things, that's how much more difficult it will be to truly love Hashem. That's what he talks about. What's ahava of things? Desire for things. I like ice cream. Ani ohev ice cream, so I eat it all the time. And if I'm not eating it, if I'm not eating it, then I fantasize about it. If I'm not fantasizing about it, at least I want it. And if it's ever offered to me, generally speaking, I'll try to take it if the circumstances allow. If there are too many people around and it's embarrassing that I'm going wolfing down a half a gallon of ice cream, then I won't do it. But if I can get it, I'll get it. Okay? So kifi, the ahava that I have in me, that's still alive in me for things other than Hashem, in other words, Hashem's will, really, not just Hashem, but Hashem's will itself, not the things that happen, but His will itself. What else do you relate to with Hashem? But His will. That's why He gave us the Torah, because it's His will, so we relate to Him through His will. So the person has this, and that's what he wants to attach to. And now the question is, let me go back a little because I lost my track. So the person, it must sound funny to somebody listening, but when you're the one talking, it's quite easy to do. But anyway, so it's good for me, Baruch Hashem. So the person who is trying to attach himself to Hashem, if you're wanting to attach to other things, then you're not going to appreciate, you're not going to have the same drive to attach to Hashem, because you want to attach to 10 things, and Hashem is one of them. If you remove your desire to attach to all those 9 other things, and the only thing left is Hashem, then you're going to have an easier time attaching to this higher power. This is the Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam. This is what the Chofetz Chaim probably meant when Rachman Litzlan Lo Aleinu, his son died, and he was burying him. And he said, Rabbanu Shel Olam, until now, something along these lines, until now my love for you was divided into my love for my son, you know, also. And now with my son not here, Rachman Litzlan, now with my son not here, I have love only place left for you. The only place I have for love left is for you. You know, instead of splitting it, so to speak, you know. So there are a lot of drushes about what the Chofetz Chaim meant and this and that, that it's a diuk here, a diuk there, and exactly what he means, splitting my love, chas v'shalom, with Hashem, and then, okay, fine. Whatever it is, whatever it is, it is. Whatever he means, it is, but it's something along these lines, is all I'm trying to say. So lemaisa, what does that mean? That means stop acting out. The more I act out my lust, the more impossible it's going to be for me to connect to my higher power. The more impossible it's going to be to plug myself into this power source and have serenity in life, which will make staying sober mostly easy, comparatively easy, relatively easy. How am I going to be plugged in here if I'm still plugged in elsewhere? So where else am I plugged in? The main area that I'm plugged into another higher power greater than myself is lust, porn, schmutz, orgasm, erotic pleasure, dirty books, dirty magazines, chatting online, schmutz, catalogs, etc. Women in the street, and I'm drooling, and the women at my work, and I'm drooling, and I'm fixating, and I'm obsessing. That's love. That's love. I am fighting it. I hate it. It's disgusting. I can say shakeit deshaksen until you're blue in the face. You keep coming back to it over and over and over. That proves more than anything that you love it. It proves 100% clear you love this thing. Accept that and face that fact. if I'm loving something else, then I'm going to have a very hard time connecting to my higher power, because I've got another higher power that I'm connected to. How do you know it's a higher power? Because no, don't you say yourself that it makes me do things I don't want to do? And you see, it's a power greater than yourself that restores you to insanity. It's a power greater than yourself that restores you to insanity. You choose this thing greater than yourself. It makes you do things that you don't want to do. Who else could do that but a power greater than yourself? So you've got a power greater than yourself that restores you to insanity. You can't be connected to that and connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, or whatever you call your power greater than your higher power that restores you to sanity, your good higher power, your real higher power. You can't be connected to that higher power successfully if you're still connected to another higher power. It's just not going to work. That's divided love. That causes tension, stress, tension. My blood pressure went down 10 points when I got sober. You know? So, seriously. So, within the first year, my blood pressure went down 10 points. My systolic blood pressure went down 10 points. The top number, I believe. Anyway, so answer number two is, part number two is, if you want to have this power greater than yourself in your life, you want to have surrender, stop acting out. You don't have to surrender the acting out yet. Just stop it. Now, I thought you said I was powerless, da-da-da-da-da. Well, you know, you will be able to stay sober without having the power. Because there's a power greater than yourself that can help you with that. Even though the second step is not referring to sobriety, it's referring to sanity. The higher power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. And sanity does not mean stop acting out only. Sanity means a lot more than stop acting out, a lot more. Just like the first step is talking about a lot more than just my averis that I'm doing and the bad things and that. It's referring to my life is unmanageable, not my sex is unmanageable. That's not what it says. Or it doesn't say in Alcoholics Anonymous, and my drinking has become unmanageable. It doesn't say that. It says my life has become unmanageable. So, there's a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. Sanity, not just sobriety. And look at the rest of the 11 steps. They don't even mention alcohol or stopping drinking or preventing me from drinking. That's not discussed anywhere in all the other 12 steps. Why is that? Look at Guard Your Eyes. 98% of it, of this handbook, is about self-control and how to distract yourself from it and how to prevent yourself from doing it again and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's 90% of Guard Your Eyes. 90% of the program has nothing to do with alcohol at all. Well, that tells you something. Go to an SA meeting or an AA meeting, you're not going to see them talking about drinking all the time unless someone's sharing their story. Most of the discussion and shares in a sober meeting are going to be about life, you know, real life, the truth inside me, bringing the inside out, you know, putting the steps into action. Okay, so that second part of the answer is really simple. If I don't stop feeding my lust, if I don't stop feeding my desire and my lust, then I'm not going to be successful with bringing a God into my life. I'm not going to recovery and bringing God into my life in a stronger fashion so that he can vanquish this other God in my life, which is the naked ladies. That, obviously, because you keep going to it over and over, you protect it, just sneeze there to protect it because it's so precious. You won't tell your wife. Why? Because she'll be so angry. Yeah. But also because once she knows, she's going to be checking on you and making it almost impossible for you to, she's going to jeopardize your access to the precious stuff. So we hide and hide and lie and hide. Hiding. Mishana Mipnei HaShalom becomes mamish the ikker. It becomes the Akeres Habayis, Mishana Mipnei HaShalom. It's like the 11th commandment all of a sudden that everything is based on, you know? Anyway, It destroys us. It makes us have a double life and become shysters. Hashem wants us to be tamim tehiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. Just be freaking honest. Be real with me. Be tamim. Mikveh works if what? There's no chatzitza. Doesn't mean you have to be a holy man. Just no chatzitzas. It's real. It's the connection has to be real. The Kotzker says, Piskuli Pesach Kudosh Shel Machad, Bani Eftochem Pesach Keulam, Shekronos Vagolos, you know, Hochimbo, or whatever it is, goes through it. The Sfasemis is grandfather's Rebbe, the Kotzker. I'm just showing off. There I go with my ego. What do you expect? You know. But anyway, so the Kotzker says, but it has to be me'ever le'ever. It has to be all the way through. A tiny hole, true, but it has to be through and through. Not I'm Chuba 613. I'm Gingerbread Man. You know, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. As long as your comfort is your priority, that's like, oh well, no. As long as I'm still, you know, I don't feel I'm ready. Blah blah blah. You know, as long as my comfort is the bottom line that has to be the litmus test. Well, I'll do whatever it is, but. You know, if my comfort is the bottom line, then I'm not recovering. It's not going to work. It may be a start. Go ahead and do it, but it's not going to give me the schara that I really want. You're going to try it, and then you'll see it doesn't work, and then hopefully you'll be emboldened to take the next step. Guard your eyes is a beautiful thing for that reason. It emboldens a person who's otherwise terrified for anything to be terrified a little less. And maybe come on this call, and then maybe start talking on the call before the recording starts, you know, and then ask by email for contacts with other people in your area who are sober and safe and who will be willing to talk with you in private about their experience and maybe tell you about good therapists in your town that they can go to, because you're not willing to go to meetings yet, and that's perfectly fine. Take a step. That's it. Take a step in the right direction. So Shlav Beis is, if you want to get a higher power in your life, so you got to start eliminating the other higher powers. And the one way that's the ikar way that needs to be done is sobriety, what the alcoholics call sobriety, meaning I can't drink anymore. I don't have to be a tzaddik. I don't have to love Hashem. I don't have to this. I don't have to that. I just can't drink anymore. I can't stop drinking. I'm powerless to stop successfully. I can stop for a while. I can hold my breath like anybody else. But you can't try holding your breath one day at a time. It doesn't work. You know? Does it? So what do you do? You know, what do you do to succeed? Okay? It's simple. Get help. Do whatever it takes to not drink today. White knuckle, green knuckle, purple knuckle, whatever it is. Do whatever it takes to stay clean today. Go to a therapist. Open up. Open up to a safe Rebbe. Whatever it is, whoever it is that you can, open up safely. You know, open up to safe people. Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. Get the help that you need. Start talking openly to a therapist about everything. You know, get the help that you need. Start somewhere. Do whatever it takes to just be clean today. If you do that, so then what's going to happen is you're going to have less and less confusion, and your mind's going to get clearer and clearer. All the yidiyas, all the hasagas that come on understanding ourselves are gifts that come after time being clean. Being clean is what gives us insight into ourselves. We don't get insight into ourselves that allows us to become clean. It doesn't work that way. It's nasa v'nishma, 100%. Only through staying clean no matter what, if you're an addict, staying clean no matter what is the only way to succeed at this stuff. And even if you don't succeed at staying clean, it's still trying to stay clean no matter what is going to help you find what you need to find in the end. Just like the the Chazon Ish's derech, that he doesn't hold from like Musar and doing all this Musar Yeshiva stuff with Knossos and here and there, Vadim, it's Bittul Torah. You know? How does he hold such a thing? It's terrible here and there. No, because he holds, if you make up your mind, you're going to keep the mitzvahs no matter what. No matter what, you're going to keep the mitzvahs. That's your bottom line. And you do anything it takes to keep the mitzvahs properly, you will automatically be forced to confront things in your character that make it impossible for you to keep the mitzvahs properly. Like if you're still cheating on your taxes, if you're still claiming this when you don't really have it, because I claimed it when I had it, and then we kept claiming it, you know? So then that's wrong. You're not going to be able to stay sober if you're still cheating on your taxes. You're not going to be able to stay sober if you're still cheating on your wife in other areas besides sex, even. You're not going to be able to stay clean if X, Y, and Z, and this and that. It's not going to work. But eventually you're going to have to stop doing those things because you made up your mind that no matter what, you're going to stay clean. There's no way you're going to lose this. And if you see that you're going to lose it, you're going to call and get help by being honest and open instead of saying, well, you know, I have a very big Yetzirah. I don't want to say what it is. It's Nivul Peh. But could you, you know, maybe give me an Yetzirah? Okay, look. That's not going to work, but it's a step in the right direction for a person who's never done anything like that before. You know, I can put it down because I know it's not going to work, but I'm not going to discourage you. So then, don't do anything. Just sit around and don't do anything. Open up the amount that you're able to. You know, open up the amount that you're able to. If you keep doing whatever it takes in order not to act out, not to act your lust out, no matter what, then you will be eventually forced to get fixed up in the proper way. Okay. So, okay. That's my pitch. So in other words, stay clean at all costs. Okay, that would be the second shlav. I'm not presenting the 12 steps has one the culture of 12 steps programs, in other words, the fellowship is the culture, that's the fellowship. The purpose of the fellowship is to stay sober, right? That's in the preamble of all 12 step literature. The 12 steps groups are, and they all do this, they all say the same thing. The purpose of AA, NA, SA, whatever it is a fellowship of people who are trying to stay sober and share their sobriety with others, period. You know? We don't say that our purpose is to spread God through the world or anything. No. We don't say that in our purpose. Because our purpose is sobriety. That's why we came here. We didn't come here to get close to God. We came here to stop acting out and to be free of acting out, free of drinking. That drinking will no longer be an issue for us. I have a life, and life isn't about drinking, and life isn't about not drinking. And one of the greatest weaknesses of Guard Your Eyes that everybody knows, even on Guard Your Eyes, they'll admit that. One of the great, and I love Guard Your Eyes, but I have to point out the weaknesses, because there are weaknesses in 12-step programs too, obviously. And there's weaknesses of everything, you know, that we have, Tachas HaShemesh. One of the big problems with Guard Your Eyes stuff is, and you know this, is that vigilance breeds distraction. You know, vigilance makes a person stay distracted on what they're supposed to be vigilant against. Instead of thinking about and engaging in real life, vigilance, 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 shmiras einayim, shmiras habris, shmiras habris, shmiras habris. Shmiras HaBris is a guarantee of one thing. I'm going to be thinking about my penis all day long. In religious terms, in tikkun, and this and that. But it's thinking about sex. And every time I go on the street, oh, watch out, there's women out there. There's this out there. There's that out there. Watch out, watch out, watch out. All you're going to think about is the women. I guarantee it. 100% guarantee. You're killing yourself. You're destroying yourself. You're keeping front and center focus 100% on the precious thing you want to keep it focused on. That's what you do when you say, my purpose in life is to fight the Yetzer Hara, and you're an addict. You end up messing yourself up. If you're not an addict, it's great. Keep fighting it. It'll work. Our Chazal tell us, the Atatim Shalbo, means that you can work this stuff, like it says, and the Pasuk comes true. But if you're not a normal person, you're an addict, you're sick like me, so then keep trying, but it ain't going to work. And if it doesn't work, then get help. There's a lot of help out there. If you have a mental illness, you need help. Get the help. Anyhow, so yeah, just to sign off, I'm late already. Just to sign off, yeah, there's, you know, there is hope out there, you know. You can get the help. You can get the help and you can get clean. You can stay clean, you know. So the rest of the program is about developing a relationship between you and your higher power, between you and God. And it ends up the fruit of the 12 steps, not the culture of AA. Culture of AA, S-A-N-A, 12-step fellowships, is to help others get sober too. To help others be free of blank, too, you know? But the 12 steps is not for that only. The 12 steps is having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. The result of the 12 steps is a spiritual awakening. That's the purpose and the result of the 12 steps. Not the fellowship, not the group. That's to share sobriety. The purpose of the 12 steps is to have a spiritual awakening, to get a true, meaning true, like an arrow, straight, true, doesn't veer, from a relationship with your own God. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know? So, yeah. The 12 steps, the purpose of the 12 steps is certainly to have a spiritual awakening, you know? And that's how you get this surrender, this God in your life, by working the 12 steps among other addicts together without shame and without fear. And, of course, doing whatever it takes to stay sober, you know? If you're feeding the lust, you're going to be going the other way. Without, that's the purpose of sobriety. Sobriety is not the goal in recovery. You know, in the fellowship it is, being sober and spreading sobriety. But in the 12 steps, sobriety isn't the goal. Sobriety is the heichatimtza to the goal, which is a spiritual awakening. Becoming close to God, becoming aware of God, living in constant awareness of the Creator. Of your Creator, your own Creator, constant awareness and connection to God, living in that awareness. That's the result of the 12 steps. So I would encourage anybody who wants that to work the 12 steps. And if you're working the 12 steps but you're not staying sober, you're fooling yourself. If you're on guard your eyes and you're working up to the step 6, right now I'm on step 9, but So I'm on step 9. But I have a question for you. I keep acting out. I keep doing this. I keep doing that. And it's like, hello, you're not on step 9. You can't be working the steps if you're not sober. Okay, I'm sorry. You can't. You can be trying to work the steps. You can benefit a little bit here, a little bit there from the steps, absolutely. But you're not doing the steps the way that they're meant to be done. The first step is I cannot act out, period. because I'm abnormal, meaning I'm not like a normal person. That's powerless. I'm not like a normal person. Normal person can enjoy it a little bit and not go overboard and crazy. I can't just enjoy it a little bit. It ends up becoming a cycle again with me. You know, that's number one. And number two, my life is unmanageable by me. I can't manage my own life. Okay, so those are the two factors. Okay, so if you're acting out, you don't have a step one. Period. You clearly don't have a first step if you're acting out. If I'm acting out, I don't have a first step. If I don't have a first step, then how am I working on step six right now, pray tell? Exactly how does that happen? You know, it's not. It doesn't happen. It's a joke. It doesn't happen. It's very encouraging. It's very nice. The 12 steps are very useful and helpful. But I'm not really working it the way that it's meant to be worked. This is not really working. Let me stop fooling myself. I'm not really working this step. Okay? That's very important to understand. I need Erstens, I need to be sober today. I need to be sober today. And I'm talking about myself. The first thing I need is I need to be sober today. If any bracha is going to come into my life, I need to be sober today. Am I going to succeed at being sober today? I don't know. But I know I need to be sober today. I have no choice in the matter. That's my first step. I don't have a choice in the matter. That is my first step. So, anyhow. All right. Hatzlacha to everybody. And...